The reading is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law and the Lord: a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So over this Advent season, we've been looking at the events of Jesus' birth through different people's perspectives. We started off at looking at through the eyes of the prophets, and then Joseph, through the eyes of the world, and then Mary. And this week, we're considering it through Simeon's eyes. Now, there were various ceremonies that Jews underwent after the birth of a child. Our reading today starts with a purification and presentation ceremony. Now, according to Leviticus 12, when a woman gives birth to a son, she is unclean for 7 days, On the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. And that's the verse immediately before our reading today. After this, the mother must wait for 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. It is only after this period that she can again enter the temple. And incidentally, the times of purification and uncleanness are doubled if the child is a daughter rather than a son. So Jesus, being, say, around 1 month, 11 days old, was taken into the temple by Mary and Joseph. This was to perform another ceremony, the presentation to the Lord. As is referred to in the passage, according to Exodus 13, where God says, "The firstborn offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." Now, part of this was buying back or redeeming the firstborn from God. The price of this redemption was a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove as a sin offering. However, if you couldn't afford the lamb, you could bring two doves or pigeons in keeping with the law. And Mary and Joseph's offering is one of the ways that we know they were poor. Now, throughout the Mosaic and Levitical laws, God always provided a means and a space for the poor and the foreigners. Throughout his ministry on earth, Jesus focused on these, which is one of the aspects that Luke's gospel brings out. And the question is, do we do that? Do we always ensure that the poor, the outsiders, the foreigners are included in the things we do? Do we make special provision for those whose needs are different from our own? And these questions are for us corporately as a fellowship, as well as for us as individuals. Is there anything that we can do to be more accessible and inclusive to those who aren't like us? Now, it was during this law fulfilling that Simeon appears. God, as always, had been working behind the scenes. We often see the climax or results of God's working, but we rarely see or are told what he is doing or has been doing behind the scenes. Here, however, we are told something of Simeon and his story, how God had been working in his life. Simeon was righteous and devout, or reverent. He was a man waiting for the consolation of Israel, God's Messiah. Although the religious leaders said they were waiting for this, and undoubtedly they would have been praying for it, they didn't really want it just yet. First, they had a very fixed idea what the Messiah should be. And if he didn't conform to this image, then they weren't interested. Secondly, they were quite happy as they are, thank you very much. Although they complained about the Roman occupation, they were happy to go along with it, so long as they kept their religious and societal positions. This comes out time and time again throughout Jesus' ministry. Remember Caiaphas' statement of Sanhedrin in John 11. "You do not realize it is better for you that one person die for the people than the whole nation perish." Or the cry of the chief priests when Pilate presented the flawed Jesus to them as their king, also in John. "We have no king but Caesar." But when Colin Bowden came to preach to us about 5 weeks ago, one of the things he challenged us on was our expectancy of Jesus' second coming. We all have our days, weeks, or even months and years planned out ahead. But are we really expecting Jesus to return at any time? In today's passage, everyone was going along with their daily lives, not really expecting the Messiah to appear. So when he did, they neither expected him nor recognized him. Simeon, by contrast, was the opposite. He was genuinely longing for the Messiah. He would have known all the scriptures concerning him, just like the religious rulers. When he looked around, He could see that things weren't right, that things weren't supposed to be the way they were. He'd have read in the scriptures how Israel had frequently turned away from God and how God had drawn them back to him. They were now back in the promised land, but the land wasn't theirs. It belonged to the Romans. The only way they could be fully restored to God, the only hope they had, was in the Messiah. We can also safely assume Simeon's open-mindedness. Whereas others were closed-minded about the Messiah, Simeon was open-minded, allowing God to do the things how he wanted to do them. Now, it needs saying that God will never go against nor contradict his word. So if we're told something in the Bible, that's how it's going to happen. However, that doesn't mean that our interpretation of what he said will always be correct. Simeon, as well as others, were willing to have their interpretation proved wrong by God's actions. Do we have that same flexibility with scriptural prophecy? Or are we closed-minded like the religious leaders? And it's like that, especially in the book of Revelation, which both of our study groups have studied. In that, we're told what's going to happen, and we can get a good idea of those things by referring to the Old Testament and to recent technological advancements. But we still need to let God do things his way, the way he wants to do it. Or if we don't, we restrict him to our own interpretation of what he said. Just like the religious rulers who were blind to who Jesus was. We're also told that Simeon had the Holy Spirit upon him, reminiscent of the Old Testament prophets. The Spirit didn't suddenly come upon him that day, but was already upon him. The Spirit had previously told Simeon that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. We aren't told when he had this revelation. It could have been either a short time ago or a long time. Remember, Abraham had to wait 25 years between God's promise of a son and that son being born. Now that day had come. The Holy Spirit moved Simeon to go into the temple courts. He recognized the Spirit's leading and obeyed. Do we recognize that Spirit's leading? Have you ever been prompted to do something by the Spirit? Now, there's been times when I've been prompted to go and pray in a certain place or go into a certain cafe and ended up talking to people there. Or sometimes I've been prompted to write a letter to someone. Sometimes we won't know the outcome of this leading, but sometimes we will. That's not the important thing, though. The important thing is recognizing that leading and obeying. If you would like to be led more by the Spirit, then just ask him. It could be something as simple as a feeling you need to phone someone or pop round and see how someone is. And the more we listen for that leading, the easier we'll recognize his voice. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple to do what the law required and gained a lot more. Simeon saw the baby, took him in his arms, and praised God for fulfilling his promise to both him and to Israel. Simeon confirms God is sovereign. Now God has kept his promise to Simeon. He is content to die in peace, happy at having seen the Messiah. He has seen with his own eyes the salvation of Israel. Mary was told by Gabriel to name him Jesus, Yeshua, which means God saves. This salvation was not obtained or accomplished in a dark corner to a select few. No, this was done in the sight of all people, so anyone who wanted could turn to Jesus and be saved. And as I said, this salvation wasn't just for Israel, nor was it ever meant to be. Simeon calls Jesus a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Now, a lot of people of the day concentrated on the Israel aspect of Jesus, whilst ignoring the Gentile aspects. But remember God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Or how about Isaiah 49? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Luke's audience would have been mainly Gentile, specifically writing to Theophilus. So he wanted to establish salvation for Gentiles wasn't just a newfangled afterthought or a plan B when Israel rejected Jesus. It was part of God's salvation plan all along. And all this was a glory to God's people of Israel. All the prophecies from their God would be fulfilled. It was from the Jewish nation that the Saviour of the world would come. And when he returns, he will rule over the whole world from David's throne in Jerusalem. Both parents marvelled at what was said about their baby. And is it any wonder? All the messages they'd had about his birth. Elizabeth's declaration of the blessedness of Mary and her child. Not to mention her own baby leaping for joy in her womb at Mary's greeting. Then there's the shepherds at the birth. The Magi didn't come until much later. There's also the scriptural fulfilling events. These fulfillments and incidences will just keep on coming. After Simeon had blessed them, he had a specific message for Mary. This first part was, this child is destined to cause a falling and rising of many in Israel. The falling chimes with Isaiah 8. For both houses of Israel will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. The rising chimes with Malachi 4. But for you who receive my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. With Jesus, you can either accept he is who he says he is, or reject him. Those who do accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour will rise, whereas those who reject him will fall. The choice is before us today, just as it was before those Jews 2,000 years ago. Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, repenting of your sin and thanking Jesus for dying on the cross, taking the punishment our sins deserve, so that we can have a restored relationship with Father God? The next thing Simeon said was that Jesus will be a sign that will be spoken against. Those who don't accept Jesus will slander him, falsely accuse him, and use him as a way of derision. It was true of all the Old Testament prophets, of Jesus and his apostles. So it is true of us as followers or disciples of Jesus. People who will reject Jesus will speak against him and anyone who associates with him. The hearts of many people will be revealed. God knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows what we're really thinking and feeling, what our true motives are. Those who are faced with Jesus and his teaching have to ask themselves, were they truly looking for the Messiah? Were they willing to do things God's way rather than their own way? Were they open enough to change how they'd been living if it didn't match with God's ways? Confronted with this teaching, their hearts would have been revealed. And those same questions apply to us today. Are we really looking for Jesus? willing to live in obedience and allowing him to change us. And the final part of Simeon's prophecy was solely for Mary.